Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadowsweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010 or online, thepowerherbs.com.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network. Magical Engineer is ready. I'm ready. We have a great show. We are going to be talking about science is creating some fake human cells. Fake. So we're going to talk about that. And we have a quack report. But before we get into all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees and I'm seeking large space, but I'm minding the time. It grows short. And today's devotional puts us in Isaiah 51. It says, "Hearken unto me, you that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear you not the reproach of men, neither be you afraid of their revelings." That's right. So stand fast and be strong. We're supposed to be pushing back against the gates of hell, and that's what we're doing by being here. Remember that, Christian soldier. Mind the time, it grows short, seek the Lord's face. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Quack, 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 quack Okay, thank you, Frank. All right, we got a couple of things in the Quacker tonight. Here's the first one, which I thought was interesting. Heads up, Frank, this is funny. Well, it's not funny, but it's interesting. This was a research report. This was published this past week in the Journal Annals of Internal Medicine. They find that patients are less likely to die if you're treated by a female doctor. That's right. They said the mortality rate for female patients was 8.15% when they were treated with a female physician, compared to 8.38% if they were treated by a male counterpart physician. Well, they said while the difference for male patients was similar, female doctors had a 10.15% mortality rate compared to their male physician counterparts that had a 10.23% mortality rate. So the study was published, and their findings indicate that the female and male physician practice, if they're practicing medicine differently, which is suggested they are, the differences have a meaningful impact on the patient outcome. Think about this. They said further research on the underlying mechanisms that are linking physician gender with patient outcomes and the benefit of receiving the treatment from a female physician is larger for the female patients. Well, it has the potential to improve patient outcomes across the board, so they got to figure out, you know, what's up with that. Leslie, last but not least in the Quack report, EPA labels two forever chemical commonly found in cookware, carpets, furniture, and cosmetics, as well as firefighting foams as hazardous substances. This is the Environmental Protection Agency. Two forever chemicals they've listed commonly used in those items. It's called PFOA for perfluorocortotonic acid. It's also a sulfonic type of acid, they say, PFSOS, part of the larger clusters of some of these what they call forever chemicals, known as perpolyfluorocholine substances. They've been kind of voluntarily phased out in the United States by manufacturers, but some remain due to non-degradable nature. So these chemicals can build up in the human body over long periods of time, can increase the likelihood of cancer, liver disease, heart disease, and developmental problems in infants and kids. So they're just saying that some of these chemicals in your commonly everyday used items that you may be living with in your house could be toxic. Well, what else is new? And that wraps the Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. What'd you say, Frank? Frank is our medical engineer. What is he saying? It is questionable that any studies published anymore are anything but propaganda and promote an agenda. Well, yeah, you've got some problems with the scientific journals. Definitely. But, you know, a lot of times reading them, Frank, can give you a heads up what their agenda is and where they're going with it and how we can possibly stay informed and maybe a step ahead. So that's why I kind of pore over these journal articles and, you know, kind of give you a perspective that's, you know, questioning their motives and their research, you know, so you can kind of get, you know, working in the halls of medicine like I did, I saw a lot of stuff that wasn't kosher, not at all kosher. And you wondered who thought of that, who designed that treatment, really. So anyway, we're going to be talking about science is creating some fake human cells here. And basically the blur that is happening within medical science is pretty significant because scientists are making headway regarding creating their own humans. Talked about this. I've hinted about it from time to time. Now, step by step, they are lining up all the elements necessary to construct artificial life. So they are building brain tissues. that have synapses that fire in real time before their eyes, and they can build different parts of the human brain from fetal tissues or umbilical cord tissue. They can grow bone tissue in the lab, as well as fake skin that can heal itself if it's damaged or cut. Kind of creepy. And here in the April 2023 research from the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill, just in the same state I'm in, they have created artificial cells that act like human living tissue. The research did get published in the April 2024 journal. I said 23 before, but it is 24 journal of Nature Chemistry. So we're going to pour over a little bit of this, see what you think. But, you know, all of this is always told. They always tell us it's for the benefit of mankind. That's why they're doing it. It's for our own good. So all of this type of research is promoted. It's promoted in some way to help mankind to be better off. So, for instance, the brain tissue to supposedly be used as a transplant option for those who suffered brain injuries, or it may be used for something similar, something like that. And it may be used for that. However, there is so much research on this scale that it suggests that science is creating their own species of human from a combination of artificial and human cells. So, I don't know, sometimes you kind of look at it as maybe a hybrid species, because some would call this kind of work a hybrid species that may look similar to man and be made with some human cells and other cells from other species, or even perhaps artificial cells that are now possible to use. How is this being done? Well, they are manipulating the cell DNA and the proteins, and this field of research is called regenerative medicine. So we're told this will be implemented into drug delivery therapies, diagnostic tools, surgery, as well as implants and more. So it's got potential in all aspects of medicine, really. Here is a quote from Riant Friedman. She's a researcher of applied physical science at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. She says, "We have taken steps to manipulate DNA and proteins, which are the building blocks of life, to create cells that look and act like real cells of the body. We are engineering tissues that can behave in dynamic ways." End of quote. Ooh, dynamic ways. Let's see. She goes on to say, "Cells and tissues are made of proteins that come together to perform tasks and make structures. Proteins are essential for forming the framework of a cell called the cytoskeleton. So this allows cells to be flexible in shape and function. So without using natural proteins, we build cells with a functioning cytoskeleton, essentially a repurposed genetic material to work together." She says DNA does not normally appear in the cytoskeleton, so we are reprogramming the sequence of the DNA so it will act as an architectural material, end of quote. So notice the reengineering and reprogramming cell DNA. And yes, Frank says translation, she's growing people, like she's growing them like people, you know, cells like people. Yes, well, like what I'm saying. They are wanting to create man, not in God's image. They're wanting to recreate man, okay? So this research is highlighting the intent of science to recreate creation, okay? So, and of course, it's going to be promoted with a softer language, offering humanity endless possibilities to become better than ever before. So, Riant Friedman goes on to say, "We have the ability to program DNA in such a way that can create cells to serve specific functions and fine-tune a cell's functional purpose to external stimulation," end of quote. Well, one thing they did point out in this research is they're noticing the difference, and they're pointing out the differences. In the research report, the scientists acknowledge the artificial cells are different from human cells. So the researchers face the challenges of making their lab-grown cells able to withstand stress, like human cells, which make for unpredictable outcomes sometimes, such as, you know, temperature changes, trauma, and infection. So, what'd you say, Frank? Like to make you die when you hit, when they hit you with a certain frequency? Well, possibly. They're reprogramming, re-engineering things. It's possible. And, you know, it wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't be shocked by that, Frank. So with these challenges, therefore, these artificial cells now, remember the temperature changes, okay, what they did with these artificial cells, they've been engineered to withstand, get this, temperatures of 122 degrees Fahrenheit. So science is impressed with this feature, offering unique opportunities for their artificial cells. And Ms. Friedman goes on to say, these synthetic cells have proven to be stable at 122 degrees Fahrenheit, opening up the possibilities for manufacturing cells with extraordinary capabilities in environments normally unsuitable for human life. Interesting statement. Yeah. I know Frank's thinking over there. So, you know, they got some futuristic applications in mind for this stuff, you know. Because when I read a lot of these articles science is publishing, I sometimes feel like I'm reading a science fiction piece. So here, the research team envisions some strange applications for their artificial cells, which suggests the research has a different motive behind it. Here is another quote from the research. They say, instead of creating cell material that is made to last, our cells are made to task, to perform a specific function, and then modify themselves to serve a new function. So there is, they said, unlimited potential to investigate synthetic cell technology that could revolutionize the fields of biotechnology and medicine. Well, I read that, and you know what comes to mind? I'm thinking metamorphosis-type cells of, you know, another way of saying it is transmutant cells or shapeshifter cells. Remember, they can modify themselves to serve a new function. So images of the Incredible Hulk come to mind, right? So they also talk about customizing cells with what they describe as DNA designs to program cells like different materials used in fabrics and integrate them with other synthetic cells and biotechnology. Well, you know, I'm reading this stuff and I'm thinking it's frightening. It's a frightening thing to consider science using such cells in maybe vaccines or in the plants that manufacture vaccines. Now, if you missed the previous show from April 4th, go listen to it. You'll know what I mean. So whether it's the genetic modification of man or the creation of an artificial race, what science is after will soon be revealed in due time. Would you say, Frank? Sounds like they're working on super soldier funding extreme conditions and things like camouflage. Your cells just kind of like a lizard to change color. Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, that's where your brain goes when you read this stuff. Well, we're going to have to fight for our health, better health, because, you know, conversations I have with people is they are noticing more about toxic threats in all shapes and forms. And one person expressed to me how challenging it was to eat healthy. Well, it certainly is a challenge to find healthy organic foods as more artificial and re-engineered foods are being introduced. So there's this real threat of removing organic animal meat, fruit, and vegetables and replacing them with non-organic forms. And so perhaps the synthetic cells they're working on prefer this type of fake sources, but I don't know. The news is fake, the cells are now fake, and the food is fake. It's really delusional to think organic man can survive on such re-engineered sources. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be a good outcome. So what we're witnessing is an attack on God's creation. Without clean organic food, there's really not going to be health. No. There's not going to be. So get your survival resources ready. Get in gear with that. I don't think I drag my feet. So you want to keep an eye on the re-engineered food list and avoid the foods that are on the list. Nuts and seeds that are not re-engineered will provide minerals, vitamins, and healthy fats for you. You want to keep them in a cool, dry place for long storage. Avoid the nuts or seeds that have oils on them. They'll go rancid, so just get the raw ones. Dehydrated foods and your powdered type of food sources will also have a longer shelf life if you properly store them. You might want to pick up some heavy-duty containers with the screw-on lids. You can store water in them, and you can put either silver or copper pieces in the container to keep the water from spoiling. You might want to have some alternative sources to cook on and to stay warm with. Pick up some supplies you can barter with, like coffee or tea, tools, tobacco, things you can trade. Don't forget to have some medicinal plants handy for your health and any kind of medicinal reason. I'm not talking about alcohol here. I'm talking about herbal plants, the medicinal ones, because your herbal tinctures will have a 10-year shelf life and your powders, your herbal powders, a 5-year shelf life if you properly store them. I would call Apothecary Herbs, get a free catalog from them, and stock some of the herbal tinctures and powders for things like bleeding, wounds, dental issues, vision issues, rashes, bites, cardio problems, digestion, and all kinds of things like that. They have formulas there for a lot of those common issues. Their number to call is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972, or The Power Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. And if you're on the website at The Power Herbs, sign up for their free online newsletters. They go out each week, and you have the Health Quest go out on Friday, but your American Survival goes out on Tuesday. So pack full of information that is going to be handy. Going to be handy at some point, if not already. And they're free. There's no subscription fee, but you do have to have email in order to receive your issues. They are only distributed by email. You can opt out of the list anytime you want. Also up on the website is their new blog. So if you would like to click on some of the articles, they have some herbal highlights. And you can learn more about your medicinal plants. You can learn about the health issues that are the most expensive to treat, and you can try to avoid those. All kinds of things are up there on the blog. And do let us know if you like the blog or if you have any feedback for us so we can make it better. So thepowerherbs.com. What else? Well, the Herb Talk Live is posted under the archive section as well. So if you miss a show live, you can go to The Power Herbs and click on the show and listen anytime you like. The shows are listed by date and topic. Shows are also listed on Rumble, and some are listed on YouTube if they're not taken down. And you can get empowered that way. We got lots of stuff going on. We keep working hard over here and trying to get people involved with being proactive with their health and being healthier out there. All right, so we're going to be talking about, since we're talking about health, we're going to talk about for the next few minutes how you can rebuild your body, how you can help your system be stronger and healthier. So if you do anything on the internet, if you do searches there, maybe you're typing in physical regeneration, well, you're going to see a lot of medical journal entries, medicines, versions of reengineering of the human body like we've been talking about. Because scientists operate on the assumption that if something can't be observed, measured, and doesn't fit into their mythology of wellness, it does not exist. So the allopathic medicine approach to regenerating a human body really entails physicians that are creating new functions for the body, new body parts. That's their idea of regenerating the body is plug in new body parts. Drug therapy is also on their list, if not surgical repairs of items or replacement of items. So their assessment of organ failure is due to, they say, age, disease, congenital defects, or damage. So let's compare some modern medicine and to natural medicine's approach to helping the body regenerate itself. So regeneration and assimilation, what's the difference? Well, medicine's path regarding cell regeneration involves biomaterials like stem cells, tissue reengineering, gene DNA manipulation, and other forms of evasive integration. Now, research is also an area that's focusing on reengineering the human and outfitting the human with nanotechnology, synthetic organs and tissues, implants, and lots of pharmacology. So the nanotechnology sector is especially disturbing to me, where structures can be self-assembled and reassemble your organs. However, you know, looking like an organ and functioning like an organ are two different things. So it may look like an organ in the lab, but when they put it in your body, what's it going to do? Frank says it sounds like modern medicine is a bit of a god complex. Yeah, I would think so. Well, you know, that's just how it is. You know, they want to recreate man, make him better. Like, God didn't finish man, so we're going to finish it for him, kind of thing, or just start over. Now, if we're looking like an organ, but it doesn't function like one, we're in big trouble, because medical science, medical research is in the area, like in the United States, the UK, and the European Union, they're into recreating things. So re-engineering is their thing. They focus on biotechnology these days. They're not really focusing at what's causing disease, and not focused on, you know, saving your original equipment, okay, because that's not where the money is to them. So addressing the cause of a disease would deliver a cure, see, which are far less profitable for physicians, hospitals, and these big drug companies, and the companies that manufacture, you know, medical parts and procedures and supplies. So another reason medicine doesn't really seek a cure or the cause of the disease for a cure is because they know it is more often than not that medicine and medical treatments are the culprit of the disease to begin with. Could be a vaccine, drug therapy, fluoride, could be any of these things. So here we are in modern times, and where modern medicine is maybe causing a lot of the diseases that we have, and then they attempt you to sell you the solution to the problem that they've created. So that's more often than not what we tend to see. But I see by the clock we're going to take a little break. But when we come back, more health news. Be right back.
Into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
"007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live."
The ancient Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of thyme herb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for thyme tincture and tea to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663, International 704-875-8010, or online at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it. Awesome. Frank, our magical engineer. Okay, so we're talking about how we can help our body regenerate. You know, what we need to realize is that our human body is already designed to regenerate, and there is a lot we can do to help that to happen. So if you get a lot of toxins in the system, it can hinder that effort. So scientific medicine recently actually reversed its position that the human brain is able to regenerate cells. Remember, we were told growing up that your brain is, you know, you're born with all your brain cells, you lose them, oh well. Well, now they're saying, no, the brain can regenerate. So with this reversal that medicine has made, because they learned that what natural healers have actually learned for centuries, known for centuries, which is the brain can regenerate all its cells within 1 year. So that is not all of our body is capable of doing as far as regenerating. Our body is able to replenish 6 quarts of blood in just 4 months. And our bodies are regenerating every 3 months with osteoporosis. It's really the natural dying off of your old bone cells being replaced by new ones. But modern medicine wants you to think otherwise. So the problem can lie where if you're not regenerating enough healthy cells to replace the dying ones, that's where you can get behind the eight ball. So the problem arises when the body's not replacing those cells. So the body refreshes our DNA cells within 2 months and of regeneration, especially your liver. Your liver cells, you get new healthy liver cells in about 6 weeks. And our skin and our stomach lining are renewed in just 5 days. And the problem is in rebuilding and regenerating, if it cannot be accomplished within that time frame, maybe you didn't get enough sleep. Maybe you didn't get enough of proper nutrition. And maybe the body's become too toxic over something that you've come into contact or you've ingested. So the regeneration process can be hindered, and the body falls behind making those valuable applications, and then disease can get a foothold. So if you want your body to naturally regenerate as God intended it to, you have to make sure you have some clean water, some good air quality, organic foods. You want to avoid anything that's GMO or re-engineered, because that creates a lot of inflammation in the body, and that will hinder regeneration. You want to make sure that, you know, you're getting healthy exercise and your muscles, and, you know, we're designed to move, not to be so sedentary. So I'd say, you know, ditch the gaming and, you know, get active, get fresh air, hiking, biking, something. And your muscles and your bones need this exercise, and they need it for toning and to retain their health. They also, it helps improve circulation. So circulation, blood brings healing, brings in oxygen, nutrition, takes away debris and toxicity. So, you know, a couple of stages you may want to look at. You want to look at, evaluate the lifestyle, maybe tweak that diet and make sure you're, you know, not getting a lot of prepackaged, overprocessed stuff going. You may want to do some organ cleansing to refresh the organs, take the burden off of them. Make sure you're getting debris out of there. Maybe you can use some immune boosting. Maybe your immune system's not working so efficiently. Maybe you can do some lymphatic support. Skin brushing in the shower with a loofah brush is helpful. Always remember to brush upwards towards the heart if you're doing that. So basically, you know, we have a lot of power right now. So I'll just remind you that science actually did an astonishing study. It surprised them that they had some people that were on a kind of processed food diet, and then they had a group on a healthy organic diet, and then they switched their diet. So they noticed in 6 days it changed their DNA. So that's how powerful food is. And just imagine how powerful you are with, you know, cleaning up the lifestyle. And just imagine how powerful you are with the medicinal herbs. They're packed full of nutrition. That's why they're bitter or they're hot, is because they're really packed full of the nutrition the body may be starving for. So you have lots of power. You just got to make sure your tools are the tools the body needs, and you can really sidestep a lot of health issues and be vital, be rejuvenated, be energetic, be happy. All right, we're going to shift gears, and we're going to be talking a little bit about walking pneumonia, because I've been getting lots of calls from people that have a pneumococcus, and we've heard about the news reporting on the rise of pneumonia cases lately, and in some cases a surge in the walking pneumonia variety. And you may be hearing other names to describe the condition, such as mycoplasma pneumonia, or maybe they call it white lung. So these names may give the impression that it's some new form of pneumonia, but it's not, okay? It is not a new form of pneumonia. So what is really walking pneumonia? Well, the American Lung Association says walking pneumonia is a non-medical term for a mild case of pneumonia, or a more medically correct term would be atypical pneumonia that can be caused by certain molds, viruses, or bacteria, often a common bacterium called mycoplasma pneumonia. Now, that's interesting because I personally had a situation where I moved into a new house, and every time I took a shower, I would get congested. I would start to cough and have this respiratory thing going on every time I took a shower. So come to find out when we were fixing this shower, because obviously something wrong with it, there was a lot of mildew and mold. So a lot of times, you know, when they put these things in, they're not put in correctly. And they could give you a lot of problem. Yeah, Oh, Frank thought white lung was called tuberculosis. No, that it wasn't called tuberculosis in the past. Was called consumption. That's what they called it. So I don't know. I don't recall them ever calling it white lung. But and you may be confusing it because people with tuberculosis have a very pasty white complexion. They sweat a lot too, but they really don't have that rosy, healthy look to them when they have that tuberculosis. All right. So, according to some infectious disease specialists, the fastest way to make someone sick is through the pulmonary, through the lungs. So, if you're listening to a lot of the news outlets and they're saying, you know, they're reporting cases in Ohio, Massachusetts, and other areas of the country, with cases of, you know, walking pneumonia. It was even broadcasted, I think, Denmark had some cases, China had some cases. But pneumonia is a bacterial infection. So the disease called Mycoplasma pneumonia produces mild respiratory infection, but if not addressed properly, that can morph into your full-blown pneumonia. So if you're not addressing it properly with some nutrition and some rest, the infection could become more serious. So a lot of modern medicine really doesn't have much of a treatment for walking pneumonia. They've been working on vaccines for it and stuff. So there are really no medications, they say, to give a cure to what is called walking pneumonia. Viral pneumonias, once you have it, it's all supportive care. That was called Dr. John Kelly, Redwood Pediatrics, Massachusetts. That's because that's what they have in their grab bag. But there are some wonderful natural herbs that help with all kinds of bronchial, congestive type of conditions. Also, New York State Department of Health said because Mycoplasma infection usually resolves on its own, antibiotic treatment with mild symptoms is not always necessary. Well, if it's a virus and not a bacteria, the antibiotics aren't going to be very useful at all. All right, so let's see what else they're saying. They say there are no vaccines to prevent Mycoplasma infection. Well, they just came out with an RSV, after December, they came out with a vaccine for supposedly walking pneumonia. But your frontline antibiotics that treat most cases of pneumonia really don't work for walking pneumonia things. So what is white lung? Well, the disease describes a white lung is a Mycoplasma pneumonia. White lung is a nickname science has given pneumonia due to a white patch that appears on the lung chest x-ray. Now, streptococcus and andioviruses also cause pneumonia. And we're told that these cases usually start in the summer, and then they get picked up by children and young adults around October, November. So they call it respiratory syncytium virus, or RSV, is also a name they give these viruses that are combined causing the walking pneumonia condition. So typically antibiotics aren't effective towards it. So you want to look for pulmonary symptoms or signs, such as shallow and fast breathing, struggling to breathe, any suction or contraction around the ribs where you're breathing hard, and a spike in fever. So if you got an increase in pneumonia cases near you in your county, you may want to take some precautions. Maybe stay away from crowded areas and maybe take your immune support herbs. Some symptoms of the walking pneumonia: sore throat, sneezing, coughing, fever, chills, runny nose, wheezing, headache, ear pain or infection, chest soreness, and nausea or vomiting. So in a less serious form of walking pneumonia is you get this lasting cough and flu-like symptoms. So, you know, and it can so get misdiagnosed as COVID, by the way. So pneumonia and vaccines. Well, the pneumonia vaccine called Prenuvir, it's been out in the United States. It's really for the Streptococcus pneumonia bacteria strain. And according to science, the vaccine cannot prevent all types of pneumonia type of cases. So it's not going to prevent it all. Actually, it's, in my opinion, vaccines aren't designed to prevent the disease. So the vaccines is really advertised as, you know, lowering your chances of catching pneumonia, but there's no guarantee. And when you get injected with a pneumonia strain, guess what you're going to get? A pneumonia. People who are more vulnerable to getting pneumonia are people with weaker immune systems, diabetes, heart disease, asthma or emphysema, HIV patients, organ transplant patients, cancer and chemo patients, smokers, heavy drinkers, and post-traumatic or post-trauma patients that are recovering from an injury. So those are the people on the high-risk group. And now, on the pneumonia vaccines, there's two of them. One is supposed to protect you from 13 bacterial types of pneumonia called PVC-13, and the other vaccine, 23 types of pneumonia called PPSV-23. So medicine often describes both these vaccines to people as usually given once with the possibility of a booster, and the symptoms reported after getting the vaccine are, well, it just reminds me of something. Let me think. Oh, yeah. Fever, tiredness, redness at the injection site, irritability, flu symptoms, loss of appetite, sore muscles, allergic reactions, and are considered rare. Well, okay. So what are the ingredients in your pneumonia vaccines? Well, the ingredient list can vary depending on which pneumonia vaccine that you get. Heavy metals also are in your vaccine. So you have 2.0 milligrams of polysaccharide, which is a cellulose sugar molecule made from 14 stereotypes or strains of the microorganism, bacteria, or virus. Then you have 4.0 milligrams of polysaccharide cellulose sugar molecule from 6B stereotype pneumonia strains. So six strains of pneumonia in there. 30 milligrams of CRM197, which is a carrier protein genetically modified from diphtheria toxin, used as a carrier protein in your vaccines for strep, influenza, meningitis, and pneumonia pathogens. Ooh, doesn't that sound lovely? And then 1.55 milligrams L-histine, a positively charged amino acid that is used in the biosynthesis of the proteins. 1 milligram of polysorbate 20, a stabilizer. 4.50 milligrams of sodium chloride and 125 milligrams of aluminum phosphate adjuvant, a heavy metal. And, you know, and if there's any thermosol, usually there's thermosol mercury in your vaccines to preserve it as well. They say the shot's effective. Yeah, they say there is debate surrounding the effectiveness of the 23 Valiant pneumococcal polysaccharide vaccine. Oxford Academic said that, so there's debate. Oxford Academic did a study, and they followed about 3,000 patients over the age of 60 for 4 years after they got their pneumonia vaccine, and they found that the vaccine did not prevent pneumonia infections or death by pneumonia. Well, that's a shocker. And they went on to say, half of the patients discharged from the hospital after they got pneumonia died or are subsequently hospitalized within the vaccine preventable infection within 5 years of getting it. They say the vaccine was not associated with a reduction risk in death or hospitalization. Better pneumococcal vaccine strategies are urgently needed. Well, like I said, if you're being injected with six strains of pneumonia, guess what you're going to get? Now, it appears that at least one version of the pneumonia vaccine, the PPSV-23, is not highly effective at preventing pneumonia. I think both of them aren't, but this is what the report's saying. In fact, the report from the Oxford Academic said the vaccine does not reduce the risk of death or hospitalization from pneumonia, especially for patients previously hospitalized with pneumonia or with the high-risk patient groups. Oxford Academic reported and confirmed what the National Library of Medicine Biotechnology Center reported in 2008. In addition, they said that the vaccine used in other countries, such as sub-Saharan region of Africa, were not effective at all. But they're selling it. They're pushing it. And from Anthony Norris, the former chief virologist of the FDA, who had access to all the raw clinical data back in the 70s, he told me that the vaccines are vehicles for disease. They don't give you antibody protection. They keep the drug companies and healthcare in a steady line of patients. And booster shots are not because you need them. It's because if you got the serum all at one time, Dr. Norris said, it's so toxic it would kill you. So they have to give it to you in stages. Okay, so let's look here. This is a quote from the National Library of Medicine. They said, according to the WHO data, the pneumococcal conjugate vaccine PCV13 is an ineffective instrument for pneumonia prevention in children. There is also an increased incidence of asthma, which will deter the use of the vaccine, especially in children. Ta-da. Well, that's why it's a vehicle for disease, so it gives you either pneumonia or a kid's asthma. So two scientific reports are saying that these versions of pneumonia vaccine aren't effective. And we have several reports stating that pneumonia vaccine is essentially useless in the prevention of pneumonia infection, hospitalization, and death, and it's not good for the young or the old. Yet, in over 20 years, the vaccines are still recommended, still used. Patients are told the vaccine can help them avoid pneumonia illness and death, when the truth is they don't. So let's consider the reasons why. The out-of-pocket pneumonia vaccine is about $200 to $250. The health insurance usually will cover the entire cost of the vaccine if you have it. 65% of the U.S. adults 65 to 74 years of age will get the pneumonia vaccine. That's 33.1 million people. So times $200. 75% of the U.S. adults 75 and older get the pneumonia vaccine. That's 22,874 individuals. 82% of the U.S. children get the pneumonia vaccine. That's 15 million. So it's money. That's why they're still in use. Money. Using the $200 price point for the vaccine, pneumonia shot pays the vaccine manufacturer, and children's pneumonia shot is worth about $3 billion. The shot for the 75 years and up is worth $4.6 million. And those in the age group of 65 to 74, it's worth $6.6 billion, B with a B, billion dollars. So $10 billion is the reason the pneumonia vaccines are promoted and sold to the U.S. population. And the net earnings are much higher considering the global use of these vaccines. What'd you say, Frank? It's so they have used healthcare premiums to fund the bioweapon extermination of the American people. Thank you, Frank. Eloquently stated. All right, so if you want to avoid pneumonia, avoiding pneumonia isn't going to be 100% preventable, but there are some ways to naturally reduce your likelihood of getting it. During outbreaks, you want to avoid the crowds, of course. Reduce or avoid refined sugar. It will lower your immunity. Also, asthmatics, avoid cow's milk products, including butter. It creates a lot of mucus. And wash your hands frequently after you touch a transmission surface, like a public door handle, shopping carts, gas pumps, service counters, that kind of thing. Use immune support supplements often. Avoid eating out or getting takeout during the cold and flu season. Okay. And reduce or avoid dehydration beverages like caffeine and alcohol. It'll lower immunity as well because alcohol converts to sugar. Now, getting back to what I wanted to talk about too is the herbal supplements that can help, especially if you have a congestive type situation going on. There are some lovely herbal supplements that can assist your body in recovering from pneumonia. I like a combination of things like echinacea root, Siberian ginseng, garlic, part of Arco inner bark. This type of combination really lifts the body's energy and helps the immune system kill the infection. And then if there's congestion, of course, usually with pulmonary issues, there is. I like to use an herb called lobelia in a liquid form. It helps to dilate the bronchial tubes and loosen the sticky mucus and deliver more power behind your cough, so it's easier to purge the mucus out. So if you're interested, Apothecary Herbs has these herbals in called their pneumonia kit. Very effective if you've got walking pneumonia or straight-up pneumonia. I mean, the herbs don't care what type of pneumonia it is. It's just going to help your body get rid of it. So now if you have a persistent cough, you definitely want to maybe layer in some thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, thyme herb. I like liquids because they're so much more potent. You can adjust the dose easily. You can add it to juice or water if you don't like the taste. And it's right in the system in 60 seconds. There's no waiting for things to get digested. Bam, it's just there. So lovely thyme is got a germicide that helps calm coughs. Used to give it to kids with whooping cough. But it's lovely for congestion type issues. I love it. And then I like to also layer in Taifu oil. Now this oil is usually made from nature sunshine. It's a nice blend, camphor, cedar, eucalyptus, all these lovely things. And you just put some in the palm of your hand, rub your palms together, cup your hands over your nose and mouth and breathe deeply. And the fumes help disinfect the airway and shrink any swelling of the tissue in the airway. So it's lovely. Has a very relaxing effect. We just recently got restocked in the Taifu oil, if you're looking for that. But it's on short supplies from the vendors. They're rationing it, to be honest. So, if you're going to order one, maybe two bottles, but don't go beyond that. So you save some for everybody. And Taifu oil is just one of those wonderful things to have. All that is available at thepowerherbs.com, by the way. They do have a nice lung congestion kit. So if you're prone to these type of pneumococcus, walking pneumonia, bronchitis, any of these congestive issues, you may want to pick that kit up. It'll have a smattering of everything we've been talking about and really will empower the system to overcome that. And it's organic. It's natural. And God says the herbs are here for the service of man, the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. I go with that. I go with God's medicine. That's me. Oh, I can see by the clock we're out of time. Don't forget to give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Get their free catalog with all those neat little tools in there to help you out. And I like to educate you along the way so you start to understand how the herbs benefit you. And you will be very efficient at using natural medicinals before long. Their number is 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663. The Power Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. Get a free catalog, sign up for the newsletters, check out the blog, and be empowered. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.